Well, a few weeks ago, I think it might have been 2 weeks ago, I was sharing out of Ezekiel 47 about the place of worship. And in Ezekiel 47, there's a picture of the restored sanctuary. It's a vision that Ezekiel has put before him. And out of the picture of the image, when worship is put as a foundation of the society of the people, God releases his living water. It says this, the man brought me back from the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out to the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east, and the water was flowing from the south side. And when we as a people put Jesus Christ at the very center, he is the very foundation of who we are, and he is the person in whom we live our lives for, God releases the water, the living water. And when he begins to release the water, we begin to see God's power and God's life-changing water change everything that it comes into contact with. And when the worship happened, it started off very small. It started off as a trickle. Then it went ankle high, knee high, then waist high. Then suddenly it became overwhelming. It was out of control because God was in control. And where the water was, there was life. And where the water was, it transformed everything that it came in contact with. And you see, the Lord wants to change everything so that we will become like him. And it starts when we look to him, when we seek him, we put our heart, our posture towards him. We're then in a place where God can begin to release his life. So if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. Someone want to shout out the number? That's how we kind of do it here. I don't know. Well, 967. Thank you. And this is the call. This is the first time that Jesus publicly ministers. And it's on verse 17, which it's chapter 4, verse 17. Before that, Jesus had been anointed by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He'd been led into the desert and had been tempted in three ways. And then he begins to start his ministry. He begins to preach his first word. And the first thing he preached was this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So when Jesus preached these words, he unleashed the power of God's kingdom. Jesus ushers in a new kingdom and a new rule. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you see, what I love about this is that Jesus comes in to usher in his kingdom and to usher in the living water. He comes to bring light into the darkness. He comes to bring something that will transform a people, a nation, a world. Because when Jesus preached the kingdom of God, a new rule and reign comes into being. God's kingdom brings his authority and power against the kingdom of darkness, undoing the work of the devil. His kingdom is not fully realized now, but we see signs and symbols of it as we minister God's healing power. One day there'll be a new heaven and there'll be a new earth, a place as God has always intended it to be. But in the meantime, we live between the now and the not yet. We're in the middle between God's realization where everything will be as God intended, which will be new heaven and earth, and the place where we reside now in the kind of the not quite yet. But even within that, we see Jesus Christ and the power of God breaking into our lives, transforming us and making us like him. So Jesus came in chapter 4 and he ushered in the kingdom of God. Then what did he do? He called people to be part of the kingdom of God. So you see this, it's come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. And who did he call? At that time he called Peter, Andrew, then he called James and John, and then he called later on other disciples to be kingdom people. And then he calls us. So he proclaims the kingdom. He calls people to be part of the kingdom. And then he models the kingdom. Matthew 4:23 says this. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures and the paralyzed, and he healed them. And you see, Jesus here, you see, he proclaimed the kingdom, he called people to be part of the kingdom, then he demonstrated the kingdom. He demonstrated it by preaching the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom, and then what happened? The Spirit of God backed up his word, and we see healings, people set free, people being made well, people's lives being radically changed, because when the kingdom of God comes, so does transformation. And then what does he do? He sends his disciples out to be kingdom people. It says this in Matthew chapter 10. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. What is this message? Have we heard this one before? He says this. Preach the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely you have given, freely you give. And so Jesus, again, as I said to you, he preached the kingdom, he called people to be part of the kingdom, he modeled the kingdom, and then what did he do? He commissioned us to be kingdom people. See, Jesus wants us to be ministers of his kingdom. He wants us to be those who reflect his character and nature. And it starts by responding to the invitation. Will you come and follow me, Jesus says. Will you come and follow me? Will you come and follow me? He said to Simon Peter, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And you see, what happens is it starts by responding to the invitation. It says this in Corinthians, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you are wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. And you see, the calling comes from humble beginnings, isn't it? Jesus called the fisherman to be a fisher of men. He started in the humble place, but God could use him in order to reach the lost. See, when God calls us, not a lot of us have a lot to shout about, do they? I remember when I was called, it was a blooming miracle. Thank goodness the Lord did pluck me out of this world. Absolute mess. I didn't have a lot to shout about. When I became a Christian, it was promotion. It's incredible. And it's the Father who reveals the Son. It's not by our own inclination. Oh God, I want to follow you. Yes, that's a response to God. But actually, it's initiated by him. It says this, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So it's God who initiates that relationship. It's God who calls us to be part of his kingdom. It's for us to respond to that invitation. And I've said this before, and I've said it many times before, because it's part of what God did. But when I, before I became a Christian, I'd done what most people. I was brought up in a Christian family, blah, 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 and got involved with all sorts of things, and I don't spend too much time going over them because that's my past. But I remember one day when I got to a very low point in my life, and I remember I was in my room and saying, please, God, help. I don't know if you know that feeling. I felt very dark. Everything I tried to put my hands to never seemed to work. I was always, it was a complete desperate state. And I knelt before the Lord in the bottom of my bed and said, Lord, please help me. And as I said that, I kind of said the prayer and I kind of left it at that. Anyway, a few weeks later, I woke up in the morning and I went to have a bath. And as I climbed into the bath, I just felt these hands lowering me into the water. And I suddenly felt wave upon wave of love. And I just could not stop crying and crying and crying. Because suddenly I felt God's love. I heard about God, but I didn't know him. I could tell you all the stories, but I'd never encountered the living Jesus. And he came and plucked down and just touched my heart and revealed himself to me. And I went downstairs and told my dad, he goes, "Oh, that's the Lord." And so it was by God draw, it wasn't me. I was crying out, "Please help." But it's the Father who revealed Jesus to me. When Jesus calls us, we're catapulted from the kingdom of darkness into his wonderful light. In an instant, we become sons and daughters of the King. Isn't it amazing? Suddenly, bang! You're the son or daughter of the King. Isn't that amazing? No prerequisites. You just are. Oh, this thing's a wonderful thing. And our sonship or daughtership is secure because of what Christ has done for us upon the cross. But it doesn't end there. In fact, that is just the beginning. You see, we start where we are. When I first became a Christian, I was still pretty much a mess. But I come into relationship with Jesus, and Jesus is beginning to start the process of transforming my life. See, when Peter was called, his original name was Simon, which means the reed. And he's one, if you look at his story, one blown around. You get the, he failed Jesus a number of times. A servant girl came up to me, "You're a follower of Jesus." "Oh, no, I'm not." And he was blown around by the wind, wasn't he? And that's where he started. But it wasn't where he finished. Jesus said to him, "I tell you, Peter, that on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Simon Peter knew himself as the one who swayed by everything. He let Jesus down. He was a basket case. He's a bit like us, isn't he? But what did Jesus see him as? "He's going to be the rock in which I build my church upon." That's how he sees us, because he has a vision and a destiny for us. We start off like this. But he builds his nature and his character into us. Because God's all about transformation. He's all about making us like his son. And that's why when we become a Christian, why don't we go straight to heaven? It'd be a lot easier, wouldn't it? In fact, please, it'd be great, wouldn't it? But it doesn't work that way, does it? It's through the journey and challenges of life that Jesus chisels his character into us. He wants us to be like him. And I don't apologize this, but the problem is that when we follow Jesus, he wants us to be like him. And actually the journey is very, very tough, because he wants to challenge us. He wants to transform us. He wants to move us from where we were, swaying around by every wind and every teaching, to be one in which he can build the church upon. And so don't be surprised when we go through difficult times. It's what happens. I don't know anybody who is in this business who hasn't gone through difficult times. It's the blessing and also the hard part. But it's the hard times that God uses as his gym to make us like his son. If everything was, "I've become a Christian and everything's way," that's not how it works, is it? And I remember when I became a Christian, I thought, "Wonderful, I'm a Christian now, right, let's go for it." And so I became a Christian, and a few weeks after, I was invited, someone said to me, "Why don't you go on a discipleship training course? Get away from your old friends and have an opportunity to spend time with other people who love the Lord, and you have an opportunity to be disciples." So I went away on a YWAM course for 3 months, and unfortunately the only one available at the time was in Hawaii, which is awful, I tell you. Oh, you'd hate it. Oh, it's terrible. Awful place. I hate those palm trees and those waves, don't you? Oh. And those sandy beaches. Oh gosh, it all gets in your feet, doesn't it? The sand. But anyway, I couldn't believe it. I was sitting on the beach thinking, I can't believe what I'm doing here. It absolutely blew me away. And over 3 months, I was part of a discipleship course, and it really sort of challenged the very heart of myself and who I was and everything. And then after the discipleship course, we spent 2 months ministering in Fiji, American Samoa, and all that sort of stuff. And I'll give you an example of what I was like when I first became a Christian. We were out in Hawaii, and we were doing street evangelism, and someone suggested that I would be the one who'd stood up on the concrete pillar and give my testimony. All right. So I stood up on this thing, and what we did beforehand was we put on a play beforehand, got a crowd around us, a bit of music and everything. And as I was standing here, I just began to share about what Jesus had done for me. And I got so carried away, I started swearing. But you see, that's where it starts, isn't it? But the most amazing thing is that it really spoke to people. That people, there's a guy there who was just weeping because he could see that I loved the Lord and I was a bit of a raw old case. But that didn't matter. Do you see? He takes you where you're at. He doesn't leave you there, that's for sure. But he takes you where you're at. And I spent 2 months working in prisons, working feeding the poor, cleaning toilet, goodness knows what. But I just had an incredible time of seeing God move and seeing his faithfulness. And when I came home, I thought, wonderful, let's go for it. I ended up working in a foundry, shoveling sand. I thought, this can't be right. For goodness sake, I've met the Lord, I've seen all this happen. But you see, he wanted to work his character into me. And so I worked in this foundry, and I really made an effort to be always there on time. I tried not to swear. I didn't get involved with the gossip. I was the hardest worker there because I wanted to show them what, not to prove myself, but as a Christian. And it's incredible the difference you make when you really make an effort just to honor God in a place which is very godless. And I did that for 18 months, just shoveling sand, putting it through a machine. And I had to come home black as anything, riding on my bike home. You're seeing cars almost either trying to knock me off or avoid me. But it's in those places of challenge and struggle that God really began to work that character. And it happens again and again. There's so many times in my life where I've had to go through very difficult times. Because God wants us to be like him. You know, Hosea 6 is the one that just comes to mind, which is like, how are you? This can't be right, Lord. This can't be you. He says this, which is really encouraging. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days he will revive us, and on the third day he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. And so the Lord, when he calls us to return to him. And it's through the process of, it seems like something's been torn to pieces, isn't it? Ow. Will this ever go away? Will this grief ever go away? Will this feeling of worry and concern ever go away? But the Lord uses circumstance and his love to bind us up, to revive us, and to restore us. And he uses the everyday and the not so everyday in order to transform us to be like him. It says in Psalm 23, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And so God calls us to a call to begin to become imitators of him. Not to fall back into the old ways of the world, but to walk forward onto his road and his path. It's about living our life differently. It says in Ephesians, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So as we take on the image of Christ. We put off our old ways. We put on a new self. And it's a choice, isn't it? We can put back our old self sometimes. But God wants us to lay that down and to pick up his self. And Jesus gives us a clue in Psalm 1 about how to build strength in our relationship with him, so that when we go through the hard times, we can prosper. It says this: "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." And this is a description of a person who begins to go deep into the Word of God, who digs that well, not just the cup of water that can be found this high. Because actually digging wells to find where the water table is really hard work. But when you hit the water table, you have water for life. And so God wants to instill in us his Word, but he also wants us to be able to draw upon his life-changing power of the Spirit of God. He says he's like a tree planted by where? Streams of living water. What did the water do? It produces fruit in season, and the leaf does not wither. Whatever happens, prospers. And so Jesus wants us to be built strong in him, in word and in spirit. So when the hard times come, our roots are deep. So even in the desert, we can prosper. And so Jesus wants us to be a people of spirit and truth. Jesus says, "By the counsel of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said." Jesus says this: "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Talks about the word is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. And so God wants us to be people of the spirit, people who are moved by God's spirit, but also people who are built in his truth. And he's really moving us as a church to be people of truth. And not just say, "I believe this," but actually do it. It's easy to talk about it, isn't it? It's easy to say, I believe in Jesus. As Paddy said last week, "I don't know that until you show me." That was a really great quote, wasn't it? How do I know you love God? I don't until you show me. And so Jesus is calling us upon a road of challenge and of transformation. It's out of the place where we commit ourselves to putting Jesus at the very center of our very being. It's when we build our life upon the rock. And it's when we put Jesus into the rightful place as he should be, the streams of living water begin to flow. And as they begin to flow, they begin to transform us into his likeness. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit. I think I'm going to leave there. I've got plenty more to say, but I don't think I need to say it. I kind of think that's enough, don't you? Probably thought that about 10 minutes ago, didn't you? But you see, the Lord wants to transform us so that we can be those who transform community. God wants to make us in the image of his Son. And to do that, we have to change. Change is not easy. Change can be quite painful. And I'll leave you with a final thought. I remember hearing a story about, if I could find this somewhere, about... you know, when a caterpillar changes from a caterpillar to a butterfly, it goes through what is called a metamorphosis. It starts off as a caterpillar, And in its early days, it goes around crunching and eating green leaves and munch, 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 and gets bigger and fatter and all that sort of stuff. And then there comes a time where it spins a cocoon, a chrysalis, in which it hides within. But the interesting thing, when the chrysalis is formed, within it, it actually becomes liquid. It actually becomes nothing. And they did an experiment in a lab where they had 50 of these, what they call again, these chrysalises, and 50, another 50 chrysalises. The first 50, when the butterfly began to come out, they began to help it out of the chrysalis. They began to break it open for it. And the other one, newly formed butterfly begin to make its way out on its own. The ones that were helped out of the chrysalis died. But the ones who had to break through the wall themselves became strong in doing it. And it's through the battle of breaking through this that they were able to become a beautiful butterfly. And you see, it's in the struggle that we become beautiful. It's in the hard times that we become in the image of Christ. The good times are great, but it's the hard times that make us, give us character. And so that's what the Lord wants to do. And it is difficult. And it's not an easy way. I wish it was. But it's not easy. It's not easy. But the great thing is, transform people. Transform community. And what a community for the lost, for those that know the Lord, to be part of. Isn't it? It's very attractive. And that's what we are as a church, are committed to. So shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you, firstly, for your nature and your character. Lord, you're a God of incredible love, incredible compassion, incredible kindness. And that's your nature. That's who you are. And even the Psalms 23 says, even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, you are there with me. We thank you, Lord, that when we go through these hard times, you are there with us as a loving God, a compassionate God, who's for us far more than we can imagine. But Lord, it's in the challenge that we are transformed into your likeness. It's through the hard times, Lord, that you chisel your character and your nature into us. And Lord, we just want to come to you this morning and this evening and just ask now, just release afresh, Lord, the living water that changes everything in its path. And we just pray now, Lord, you release that amongst us now. That even in the deserts of our souls, Lord, you can bring living water that can bring life. Thank you, Lord, that you can bring hope into hopelessness. Thank you, Lord, that you can bring a future where it seems everything's falling apart. And thank you, Lord, that you say you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, Lord, that you know where we are. Doesn't matter where we are. Today's a new day. Where we are is where we are. But Jesus is the good shepherd. He wants to lead us from where we are to the green pastures, to the still waters, restore us, to build us up, to encourage us, to dust us down, to get us back upon that road again. And so, Lord, we thank you for your nature. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you, Lord, for proclaiming the kingdom and bringing a new way. Thank you, Lord, that your way brings life and life to the full. We thank you, Father. And I just want to encourage each one of you just to invite the living water into your heart and into your soul and your spirit now. And just ask the Lord to revive you, to restore you, to be re-envisioned. To know it's all right because the Lord is in control.